And I want to read a scripture for you this morning from Psalm 34, and then we'll pray together, okay? Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no lack to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. And I conclude with this, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So there you have it. Let's pray together. Thank you, dear Lord, for this morning. How we bless you. We just want to set other things aside. We just want to put all other things out of our minds, if possible, Lord. That's hard for us to do sometimes. Our troubles are deep, but we want to do as Paul says. We want to think of things above. Let your affections be on things above, not on things of this earth, you say to us. So we lift up our minds this morning, and our hearts, our emotions, our will, our desires, because we come here this morning to worship you, to think about you, to think about your word, to be in touch with you as we've been in touch with you all week long. But we set this special time this morning just to say how wonderful you are. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed, then sings my soul. Oh, our soul sings this morning. Our Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Well, let's go right to the teaching of his word this morning, shall we please? The teaching of his word. Now, no one at Oak Ridge has asked me to teach you what I am going to teach you this morning from God's word. It will come from God's word. So I'm not the authority on this. God is the authority on what I'm going to teach you. But I want you to know, this is important for you to know, that nobody has asked me to teach you about this morning. It's just as I was asking the Lord in prayer what he would want for me today and want for you today. I just felt like he prompted me to teach you about the Bible's definition of the church and its leadership. The church and its leadership will be our subject this morning, our focus this morning. And so I am teaching you today to help you, not to hurt you. I wouldn't do that, because a pastor isn't to hurt the people of God. It's to help the people of God, to bless the people of God. And so I'm praying that this is going to be a blessing in your life. Now, a few of you likely came out of a very dictatorial government. And when you read in the scripture that you are to obey your church leaders, you may find yourself reacting the same way that you did when you were under the tyranny of a worldly government. That's very, very possible for some of you. Not all of us grew up under a very tyrannical government leadership. It's getting to be more than that every day, I will tell you, both in Canada and the United States. But we didn't grow up under tyrannical leadership, and therefore you don't look back upon that with great favor and great desire, do you? And so this morning you may find yourself a little resistant to the teaching of God's word, but that's the point. It'll be the teaching of God's word, not my teaching. And so I understand your resistance, if you have some. You know, we Baptists, of course, we're very independent in nature, aren't we? Every Baptist church is independent. That's kind of the, what shall we say, the insignia of the Baptist church, is that we are free to do as we feel God would have us to do. And so as Baptists, we're very, minded of to be quite independent. And maybe that's one of the problems that some of us face when we come to the scriptures having to do with the leadership of the church. You know, I want you to understand that that would be no excuse. Your resistance to what the Bible says about church and its leadership, even though you've come up maybe from some very tyrannical leadership in government, that's no excuse for us to resist. Because if we do that, if we resist what God has defined to be the leadership of the church, if we resist that, we're really resisting the Lord. That's what we have to see. And that when we do that, we make ourselves the leaders without God's approval. We haven't been chosen to be the leaders, and so that's the way it is. Without God's approval, that's what we tend to do. But before I talk to the membership, I want to talk to the leaders. The leaders. God has a word to speak to leaders. Did you know that? If you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter and chapter 5, you will find that God is speaking to the leaders. And this is what he says. He says to the leaders, he calls them the elders. That's who the leaders of the church are. The leaders in the church are elders. We call them leaders, but God calls them elders. And they're chosen by God. Not just chosen by you. And I assume that at your annual meeting, you prayed about who should take leadership in the church. And if you prayed very, very sincerely and open-heartedly about that, that those who are now your leaders are your elders. And so you need to really pay attention to them. But here's what God says to the leaders themselves, how they're to lead. He says, the elders, verse 1, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder. Now here's the great Apostle Peter, putting himself on the same level as the elders of any church. Isn't that amazing? As an elder who was a witness of the sufferings of Christ, he couldn't be an elder, couldn't be an apostle, in fact, unless you had been there to see the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Now remember on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John, and how they hit the floor because they had to hide their faces from his glory. This is the glory he's talking about. And he goes on to say, shepherd the flock of God. He uses the analogy of a shepherd and a sheepfold. It's very precious to God to think in those terms. He does it in the Old Testament, and here he does it in the New Testament. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. That's the job of an elder. That's the job of a leader in the church, to oversee the church, to shepherd the church. That means to care for it. That means to lead it. That means to teach it. That's the definition of being a leader, an elder in the church of Jesus Christ. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion. If you're in a leadership position tonight at Oak Ridge and you do it because you feel you have to, I have to do this. That's compulsion. That's no way to be a leader in a church, to do it because you're under pressure, that you have to do this. No, I trust that you're doing it willingly. You're doing it willingly. And he goes on to say, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. You're not doing it for money. I know that you leaders at Oak Ridge aren't on the payroll. You're not being paid for your service to the church. And we thank you that you'll serve the Lord without any financial gain whatsoever. Not because of dishonest gain, he says, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you. You know, the people of Oak Ridge have been entrusted to the leadership, to the elders. And he says that entrusted to you, not as being lords over them. They're not there to be your lords, not at all. They're to be, as he goes on to say, but being examples to the flock. Examples of what? Well, first of all, examples of faith, of what it means to walk by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that an elder needs to commit his heart to be an example of the faith, of what it means to be a follower and a dependent of Jesus Christ himself. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory. He's talking to these elders now. When the chief shepherd appears, notice he said shepherd the flock. When the chief shepherd, that's our Lord, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So there's his word to the eldership, to the leadership. He says, you serve these people, not because you have to, but willingly, not for any kind of gain, but because you want to serve the Lord, because you love these people, not domineering their faith. You're not there to crack the whip and tell them, you know, all kinds of stuff that would cause them to fall in line with what you want. That's not the eldership in the body of Christ. That's maybe a kind of a leadership that belongs out in the world, but not in the body of Christ, the church of Jesus that he bought with his own precious blood. You are to serve him gladly, willingly. Overseeing means just taking care of not the church building as such, although that's important, but that's way down the list of what's important to God. The church might meet in a building, it might meet in a home, but you are to oversee those entrusted to your care. Well, there's God's word to the leadership. I wanted to start with them, okay? And so I am sure that all of you want the full blessing of the Lord on this church. I'm just assuming that, and I think it's a proper and a correct assumption, right? You want to see it thrive spiritually as well as numerically, but spiritually first. Until a church prospers spiritually, there isn't going to be numerical growth. And we'll get into that, what it means to prosper spiritually. You want to see a vibrant love for one another, as the Lord said, because that's the first sign that you really are the disciples of Jesus, that you love one another. That's sign number one, that you really belong to the Lord. And if it is critical that congregations are not resistant to the leadership of those God has put in those positions to lead and to teach the word. It's very critical that you not be resistant to those whom God has given you there to watch over you and to lead you and to teach the word to you. And so to be a leader, you must have God's approval. Now, basics. Today we're going back to the drawing board. You know, a coach in sports, if he's got a team that's really wanting to win, what does he do? He goes back to the basics. What happens if they start to lose? He goes back to the basics again to teach them the basics. And we're going to do that today. We're going to take the word of God, go back to the basics as to what God says about the church and its leadership. You know, if God has not called you to lead, then follow your leaders. If the Lord did not give you a leadership role at Oak Ridge, then follow your leaders. That's what he's saying in his word, okay? And so what has the Lord told the church? He's the head, after all. He's the head. What has he said about how the church is to be run? Do you think that God's greatest venture, which is the body of Christ in earth's history, in the history of this world, the church, which is the very thing that he bought with his precious blood, that he's left for us to decide how to lead it? You ever ask yourself the question? Where do we get the ideas about our churches, how a church is to be led? From other organizations? From secular organizations and how they run? No. The body of Christ isn't run the way secular organizations run. The Lord has very clearly spoken to us and told us how he wants the church to be run. And so this is his greatest venture, and he has told us what he wants us to do. And so do you think that's easy? It's not easy to be in leadership. It never has been, and it never will be, that you're in leadership in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Possibly, maybe you do think it's easy, but leaders have a great responsibility to God for the way they lead. Don't worry about whether they're going to be held responsible. God is holding them responsible. It's not you that holds them responsible. Don't get the idea that you're the one who holds your leadership responsible. The Lord himself, the head of the church, he's the one who is holding them responsible. Now, I'm so thankful to hear that Tommy is faithfully teaching the word, and I commend him for that. Now, in a conversation that he and I have had before, he promised me that he would do that. So I'm delighted to hear that he is teaching you the Word. Good work, Tommy. So let's go to the Word. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And now we're going to hear what God says about leadership in the church. And so let's go to verse 12. Will you please look at verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verse 12. And we urge you, brethren. Now he's talking here to the believers, to the members of the congregation, we would say. We urge you. Notice that even the apostle doesn't say we demand. Listen, if you don't want to do this, you've got to ask yourself some questions. Do I belong here? If you don't want to follow the leadership of this church, do I really belong here? He says, we urge you, brethren, to recognize. What does he mean by that? It means to appreciate. It means to love. Love those leaders. Cherish them. Pay attention to them. We'll find out how God has all balanced this out in another place in this section here. And so to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Even the Lord says they are overseers, as Peter said, the ones who are over you. Don't take that as an insult. If you had some tyrannical government that was over your head and you hated that, don't insult the Lord now by saying, because of that, I'm not going to do what you want me to do, Lord. He says, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. You know what that means? That word in the original Greek means to warn, it means to exhort, and it means to discipline. You may think that's negative. It isn't at all. It's the way the Lord keeps his church pure, is when we are warned and exhorted and disciplined. You know, the Word of God is given to us. In 1 Timothy, Paul says that it'll accomplish some things in our lives if we're listening. It'll train us in righteousness, that is, how to really live in the church. It'll rebuke and reprove us because we need that, don't we? Do we ever sin? Yes, we do. We need to be rebuked and reproved when we go slack and when we become casual about our relationship to the Lord. The Holy Spirit is going to make sure that we feel the rebuke of the Word of God and that he reproves us. And it also trains us in doctrine, in sound doctrine. And so that's what we're doing this morning. We're being trained in sound doctrine. We need to listen to the Lord about this, okay? And so they are to warn and exhort and discipline. And to esteem them, verse 13, very highly in love. Why? Because they're such wonderful people? No. Nobody is so wonderful that, you know, unless you're just absolutely awestruck with somebody because they have such a charismatic personality. No. The Lord doesn't choose leaders that particularly have charismatic personalities. So we love them. Why? It says right here, for their work's sake. It's because of the work that they have to do in leading and caring and guiding and teaching you the Word. That's the work. And because of that, he says, you are to highly esteem them for their work's sake. That's the reason why you honor them. You know, I just was thinking about it in my own life today, over something that was happening in my mind, and the Lord reminded me that I need to learn to honor all men, because that's what the Lord says, honor all men. And sometimes I don't feel like honoring all men, but particularly in the church, in the body of Christ, we need to learn to honor each other. And in this particular reference here, he's talking about honoring your leaders. And then he says, what's going to be the result of that? He says, be at peace among yourselves. Did you ever realize? Did you ever think that maybe the way you're treating your leadership has brought turmoil into the fellowship? It says, you know, we're supposed to be at peace. Be at peace. And it's no accident that he puts it in here when he's talking about the membership and the leadership, that we are to be at peace one with another. Then in verse, let's see, what else could we say? You know, I was thinking, did you ever think that the way we resist our leadership is quenching the Holy Spirit? Will you look down at verse 19 in this same chapter? And here it says, do not quench the Spirit. Do you ever think that maybe because of the way we're responding and reacting more than responding, if we respond, we're honoring their leadership, their work? Or we might be reacting. That means resisting. And when we do, we're quenching the Holy Spirit. Do you want Oak Ridge to be a church where the Holy Spirit is quenched and not free to move? You know, when we quench him, it's like dousing the fire, pouring water on the fire of the Holy Spirit. He wants to bless. He wants to really get us involved totally in our relationship with the Lord Jesus and each other, loving one another from the heart, pure, sincere love. But when we don't do that, when we're not responding in this particular context here to the leadership, we find ourselves really not doing what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. And in that sense, we're quenching the blessed Holy Spirit. You know, have you ever felt leaving a meeting, maybe an annual meeting, a church meeting? You really felt victorious because you got a few other people to agree with you and to join in with you against the leader's proposals. But you know, you walked away with a little sour taste in your mouth, didn't you? You know, that wasn't the way to run things. That was not the way to run things. To show that resistance by saying, no, we're not going to do what you guys want us to do. You don't really know the will of the Lord. Well, we'll come to that in a moment as to how they know the will of the Lord. So, if we don't obey the word of the Lord in this matter of how a church member is to respond to the leadership of the church, should we be surprised if there is not a feeling of having a free spirit? There's not really having a free spirit in the congregation. Have you ever thought of it in those terms? Maybe there's dullness, just spiritual dullness in the congregation, because that's totally possible. Churches can be very, very dull, and we never trace it back to this, do we? If things maybe seem to change very, very little. You know, 10 years ago, it's the same today as it was 10 years ago. Things haven't changed. If we seem to be on a treadmill, you know, just going through the motions. Just going through the motions every Sunday. We come and go through the motions. It's very much an external thing, isn't it? You're going through the order of service. Can be a very, very external thing, or it can be very life-giving too. It can be a wonderful time to be worshiping the Lord as you go through the order of service, or it can be just a very treadmill experience that you go through every Sunday. Maybe your own spiritual life is somewhat dull and drab and uninteresting. Ever thought that it could be linked to this? The teaching of the Word of God is clear. It could be very, very much linked to this. And I'm sure that all of you want the full blessing of the Lord on this church. I can't imagine it would be any other way that you want the full blessing of the Lord on Oak Ridge. You want to see it thrive spiritually as well as numerically, and you want to see a vibrant love for one another, as the Lord said it should be. And so what has the Lord of the church, the head, said about how the church is to be run? Do we make it easy or difficult for our leaders to lead? I've been in leadership for many, many years, and I know that there are those in churches that I've served that have made it very difficult to lead, like stubborn sheep. They just don't want to cooperate. They want to resist. They feel kind of, it's a fleshly thing, you know, it gives you some sense of power to be able to resist leadership. So do we make it easy or difficult for our leaders to lead? And then in verse 14, he says, now we exhort you, brethren. Now he's talking to the membership. We talked about the membership. Now he's talking to the leaders. And he says, we exhort you, brethren, leaders, warn those who are unruly. That means those who are out of line. And we have them in every church. Doesn't matter. It's not just Oak Ridge. It's all kinds of churches. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Well, isn't that something? You know, he's talking about the unruly, those who are get out of line, and the faint-hearted. Some are very hesitant, okay? still in your faith. And there are the weak, just spiritually weak, just don't seem to really be able to find that strength that there is in the Lord. And certainly it also involves the spiritually strong. They're also part of the body of Christ, very important. You know what this is talking about? We're all at different levels of the maturity in Christ. Some are walking in the Spirit and some are not sure about walking in the Spirit. You got to learn to walk in the Spirit. You got to surrender yourself. And this is part of this leadership membership issue. You got to surrender yourself to the Word of God and what the Word of God is saying. You're not surrendering to me. You're not surrendering to your present leadership at Oak Ridge. You're surrendering to the Lord. That's the important thing. And so, you know what the leaders of the church, what the Lord wants the leaders to do? Oh, and this isn't easy. Don't think that leadership of the Church of Jesus Christ is an easy task. It isn't. I'll tell you from personal experience, it can be very difficult. It is, overall, it is rewarding and a blessing. We remember our time with you there, man. It's just like God just almost saved the best for last, I always say, because that was, you were our last pastoral care that we did in our ministry. We've gone on to do other ministry, but as far as being a pastor in a local church, Oak Ridge was it for us. And it was a wonderful time. But, you know, in every church, you have those who are unruly and faint-hearted and weak, and as well as the spiritually strong. We're all at different levels of spiritual maturity, aren't we? That's all that's saying. But you know this? What does he tell the leaders to do with those kind of people, or with all of you? It says, be patient with all. Be patient with the unruly, because they can grow. Be patient with the faint-hearted. They can grow stronger. Be patient with the weak. They can be encouraged to get with the program and get strong in the Lord. But he says, be patient with all. You know, sometimes as leaders in the body of Christ, we can be very impatient. I admit that sometimes I was impatient. But the Lord doesn't want us to be impatient with each other. We know that, okay? So that's his word to the leaders. And then verse 15, he says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. That's another part of being patient with you all. The leaders at Oak Ridge are to be patient with you all and not repaying evil for evil. Does that mean that sometimes somebody in the church, a member, will do something evil? Yes, it does mean that. But not to repay that evil with evil from the leadership. That's an order from the head of the church. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always, what's the objective? Why not do that? He says, always pursue. And when you pursue something, you really go after it, don't you? Always pursue what is good, both for yourself, get yourself under control, and for all. He uses the word for all 2 times. Be patient with all. And here he says, and for all. That's what we're seeking, what is good, both for ourselves and for all. Well, there you have kind of a definition of how the people are to lead in the church. See that no one renders evil for evil. Now, there will be difficult situations with you, but they are not to retaliate against you. The head of the church says that's a no-no. You don't. I don't retaliate against you. I'm in your life to make you grow, to change your unruliness to ruliness, to properly responding to leadership. And so, did you ever think that the way you have reacted to your leaders is quenching the Holy Spirit? We already talked about that, didn't we? We can quench the Holy Spirit by doing those things. And so, if the Lord has told us about this and we don't do it, what do you call that? In the Bible, that's called disobedience. Disobedience. And I know that there's something deep down in your heart that says, I need to obey the Lord. And the Lord's directions are these about leadership. And so you can't resist the leadership without resisting your Lord. That's the point, isn't it? And if we aren't obeying the word of the Lord in this matter of how a church member is to respond to the leadership of the church, should we be surprised if there's not a free spirit in the congregation, as I said before? If there's a dullness, if things seem to change but very little? So the job of your leaders is to lead, of course. And of course, they must be sensitive to your concerns. Remember that Peter said, don't dominate. Don't be lords. You're not lords over their faith. It's an individual thing, and it's an individual growth, right? And so their job is not just to create programs. You think that your leadership at Oak Ridge is there under the guidance of the Holy Spirit just to create programs. You got another thing coming. They're not there just for that reason. Their job is to pray for you. Their job is to care for you, for your spiritual walk with the Lord, and be concerned about your spiritual battles. That's the definition of Bible leadership. People there who are concerned to pray for you, to care about your spiritual walk, and be concerned about your spiritual battles. And even physical needs come into this. You know, I think as a church, as a body of Christ, just generally, not just Oak Ridge, we've done a very poor job of helping those in our membership who have fallen on bad days, maybe even financially, and we haven't really cared for them. You know, this idea that the church should care for the world socially and social programs, that's not really of God. I'm not saying we shouldn't care about people who don't know the Lord, and even if a neighbor doesn't know the Lord and he falls on bad days, that we should do something to help, shouldn't we? But certainly in the body of Christ, if there's a person or a family who's just struggling financially, we need to get with that person and have a little defining talk and find out what's going on. And if it's a legitimate need, that we as a church, the body of Christ, should care for our own. We can't care for the whole world, but we certainly can care for our own. And I find that in churches that I've served, even in the past, we haven't done a very good job of that. We thought that our testimony was to be caring about those out in the world. No, 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 no. The testimony of a real vibrant fellowship is that we are concerned for each other, for our own. Paul says that we are to be concerned, first of all, for the body of Christ. For people of the faith, we are to be of first concern to our hearts, okay? And so, what's your job? You know your job? We're going to wind up here in just a moment, but do you know your job? As I said, the job of the leaders is to pray for you and care for you and be concerned about your battles, but you know what your job is? Now here, this is really important. If you get yourself overly involved in the leadership of the church, you are saying that God approves of your leadership and you should be in leadership. That doesn't make any sense, does it? You know what your job is? Here it is. Your job is not just to come to church. Your job is to love your fellow members passionately, fervently, visibly. Show it. That's your job. That's job number one. Jesus says, this is how people will know, because they see your love for each other. But that love has to be visible. That love has to be shown. Otherwise, it's not really the spirit-filled love that the Bible talks to us about, okay? So you love them visibly, showing your love for each other. Don't just come to church. Seek an opportunity. Come Sunday morning and pray, oh Lord, is there somebody that you want me to show your love to this morning, okay? Don't just let love, Paul says, don't just love in words. Love in deeds. And so that's why we come together. Use the gift that the Holy Spirit has given you. Paul talks about the fact that when the gifts of the Spirit, as he has just given them out among the members of the body of Christ, whatever your gift is, your gift might be mercy. You might be just showing kindness, whatever. Use your gift, whatever the Spirit of God has given to you, okay? And then Paul says that what happens is that the body of Christ is built up when each part is working properly. That's you with your gift. You're the part. When each part is working properly, the body of Christ will be built up. And so you use that gift. That's Ephesians 4:16, each part working properly. Do the work of evangelizing. Did you know that that's your job? How many people get confused and start getting into the leadership of the church when they're not asked by the church to be leaders? But they somehow just kind of get in there and they start provoking and protesting and resisting. That's not their job. You know what their job is? To evangelize. That means to speak the gospel. Have you spoken to anybody within this year, within this last year, about the Lord Jesus? If you haven't, maybe you're not doing what the Lord wants you to do. The Lord Jesus' mandate to the church is this: we are to speak the gospel to people. He says, preach the gospel, go into all the world, that includes Vancouver, and preach the gospel to who? To every creature. When God opens the door, when the Holy Spirit gives you that prompting, that this is the time to say something, maybe just a few words, you can do that. Speak the gospel, though. Don't just talk about, you know, being an encouragement to people. That's wonderful. But we haven't finished the job until we have spoken the gospel. That's your job. Use your gift, love one another, and show it, and use your gift to the glory of God, and evangelize. Speak the gospel. That's what he wants you to do. That's what you are to be busy doing. If you do these things, you'll be so busy you won't worry about the leadership of the church. You have enough to do to be showing your love and using your gift and evangelizing. Oh, that's wonderful. That's Acts 1:8. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, he shall produce the power to be witnesses of Jesus. That's your job. That's my job, okay? And leave the leadership of the church to whom? To the leaders, to the ones God has appointed, to the ones God has chosen. Didn't you get to the annual meeting and make your vote for the leadership? Didn't you vote for people? Why did you vote them in if you didn't want them to lead you? Is a good question, isn't it? And the job of your leaders is to lead, and let them do it. And Paul says, do it joyfully. And if they're doing things that are not biblical as leaders, talk to them about it. If you detect that they're doing something which isn't even according to the Bible, then talk to them about it. Don't criticize them. Don't get a little group together and start resisting them. No, he says that you are to do to give the leaders the opportunity to lead, but then let them do it joyfully. And if they're leading, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to support them. Do you spend as much time in prayer as they do over what the Lord wants for Oak Ridge? If you do, you have the right to ask questions. You sure do. But make sure you're praying. And they have meetings not to keep secrets from you. That isn't why they meet every month. But to pray for you and ask the Holy Spirit what he wants for this church. That's why they get together. To pray for you, be concerned about you, and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want for Oak Ridge? Not what we want. Not programs that we can design that come out of our own heads. But what do you want us to do, dear Holy Spirit? And as a pastor, I'm talking to you this morning as a pastor. I appeal to you to respond to the leadership of your leaders. They don't have an easy task. They don't have an easy job. But will you just pray for them? I appeal to you to respond to them. I leave you with this solemn blessing, solemn challenge that is to be the blessing of the Holy Spirit on Oak Ridge, is to be much in prayer for your leadership. If you think they're not doing their job, why don't you pray for them? Ask the Holy Spirit to nudge them to start doing the job that he wants them to do. That's how you handle it. You don't start resisting them. You handle it by praying for them. And I leave you with Hebrews 13, verse 7. Turn to Hebrews 13 and verse 7, a wonderful, wonderful verse. Here he says, to the membership now, remember those who rule over you. That means to oversee. That means to take care of. Remember those who lead you, is another way of putting it, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow. That's what they're supposed to do, is be an example of the faith. Considering the outcome of their conduct, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why did he tuck that little verse in this context here? Because he's saying the Lord Jesus isn't going to change his mind about this. He's laid it out for time and eternity the way he wants his church to be led. He's not going to change his mind. And so he says that he wants us in verse I think it's 17, he says, and we'll conclude with this. Obey those. Don't like that word? Well, if this is the word of the Lord, if this is the Lord talking, then if you don't want to do that, who are you not obeying? You wouldn't be obeying the Lord, would you? Obey the Lord. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Now listen, for they watch over your souls. That's what leadership in the church does. Somebody's got to watch over the souls of the people of the membership. Who watch over your souls as those, now listen, you think that leaders could get away with bad leadership? He says, as those who must give account. The Lord is going to call leadership to account. Don't you worry about that. You may think that you have to do that. No, you don't. That's not your job. It says they must give account. To whom do you think they're going to give account? It's to the Lord, not to you. These are the Lord's servants. They're going to account to him. Let them do so with joy. What's he talking about? Well, if you just make it hard for them, you resist them, they can't do it joyfully, can they? Let them do it with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. Wow, isn't that something? That's really something. So do you want to see the blessing of the Lord on Oak Ridge? You bet you do. I bet you do. And so I'm asking you, I'm appealing to you today. I told you, I'm teaching you this not to hurt you, but to help you. I'm asking you, I'm appealing to you as a pastor. Obey the Lord in this matter. Obey the Lord. I didn't say obey the leaders, first of all. If we're not obeying the Lord, we likely won't obey the leaders either. But the first issue is, am I obeying the Lord when he has called certain people to lead in the church? So obey the Lord in this matter and follow your leaders and see the blessing of the Lord on this church. You know, you can't have strife between the members and the leaders. You can't. And expect the blessing of the Lord. You'll become very, very dull in your fellowship, and it won't satisfy your hearts at all. But when there is love expressed and you esteem your leaders, and they love and care for you, and are concerned about your battles, then everything comes together and we expect the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we praise you. Thank you now that you have spoken in your word to us about these things. Guide us, we pray, and help us to take your word now and realize it's the Lord who is calling us to this. It's being obedient to you that is at issue here. And so help us as a membership to be obedient to our leaders, to love them, to esteem them for their work's sake. And then we pray that the leaders will not dominate the faith of those in the membership, but that they will love and care and be concerned for those under the care that you put them under your care. We thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.